Sweet, we should be live any minute now. Everybody good?
Yes, sir.
Everybody blessed?
Yes, sir. Beyond the
80. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, are we live?
Yes.
All right, awesome. So, it's good to be back. I see faces, I see people in real life. It's not Zoom. I can almost touch you. If it wasn't for the pulpit, I probably would touch some faces. So I asked the Lord, what should we do? Because I've been so busy at work today, and then we had someone that came for prayer. And if I got any of the facts wrong, just help me. But she had a tumor behind her eye, and it was completely blurry. And after prayer, and migraines, and there was immense pressure behind the eye. She came for prayer, and all the blurriness cleared up. She said it was, I asked her, out of 10, what would it be better? And she said 8 or 9. And the pressure left, and then her back got healed too, so it was an awesome evening. And then I asked the Lord, what should I teach on tonight? Because I've got, honestly, nothing. And he reminded me of notes that I had way back. I'm talking, like, and he said, the secret life, the ascended life. It's a secret. And for me, God's always ministered on living a higher life and pulling out the secrets and the mysteries of God. And I think if you've been in this class long enough, you've heard me teach some point or other about the secrets, the mysteries, and pull that all together. And, you know, I want to touch on a little bit of it, but the point is we have to live ascended. So for your notes, and take notes tonight. First text we're going to deal with is Philippians 3. So, Ephesians, Philippians, all right, number 3. Und 3, from verse 7. We all know it. It's good to have James back in reality. He brings coffee. He just couldn't transfer that virtually over Zoom. You can't do it. Oh, gotta love you. Oh, gotta love you. All right, from verse 7 to verse 14, let's read. But what things were gain to me, those things I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but dung. We can give some good English adjectives there, poop, you know, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God, by faith, that I might know him. And fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I'm skipping. But that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. By if any means that I might attain to the resurrection of the dead, not as though I have already attained either. Either were already perfect, but follow after, if I may apprehend, for that which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press on towards the mark of the prize, the high calling of God. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Listen, he says, now you, listen, high calling. Not a low calling, a high calling, okay? You need to understand when you deny yourself. Now, in all these things, he's talking about a couple of things here. He's talking about denial of the past life, right? So he says, everything that I thought, everything that I thought up to this point, everything that I've done in my past, that was worthy of praise equals done. Okay? My great degrees of the law, my great knowledge of Hebrew, my great knowledge of all the ancient scribes and Pharisees, you know, all that is worthless. And then forgetting everything that I'd done before salvation, because that's not even accounted. Okay, so my other past of discretions and sin, let's just put sin there. That's why I don't have to spell such big, difficult words. That's your cue to laugh. Uh-huh. The past of sin equals wiped away. It's forgotten, right? God doesn't even know about it. Wiped away, blotted out of the ordinances of the law, right? Romans 5, 1 Corinthians 6, 2 Corinthians 4, right? They're all blotted out, wiped away, right? So we know that. So, but then he says, but listen, now in my present, I know the roadmap, but I've not obtained it yet. Now, I know the way, but I haven't got it yet. Let me just, not there. Okay? So he says, listen, my past achievements that were good are worthless. My past in itself is wiped away. Now where I am, I know the way is Christ, but I'm not there yet. But this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. Now remember last week, what did we talk about? You must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek. So I must seek the God of the reward. So I must look for my prize. So this ties in quite nicely to last week. So here's the new map. And I do kind of miss Zoom now because I could just make a new board. Okay, so he says, here's the new way. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to look at the prize. And we're going to press toward it. That word press is the same as go, you know, run, seek after. It doesn't involve technical strain, but it does tell you that it could be strenuous. So it's by implication that it's strenuous, but it's not, okay? And it says, press on towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So he says, listen, I've exalted my vision to look at things which are higher. Now, because they're higher, what do I have to do? Okay? And we're going to get to that. But now, the high calling, there is... We got to figure out what is this high calling. Because who's heard a sermon on the high calling? You have? Okay, great. So, but it's not something spoken often about, right? Because we have no idea really what it is. But if we start studying the scriptures about the high calling or the ascend. Because that word high, okay, so let's do John 20, verse 17. Let me not get ahead of myself. John 20 and verse 17. So we know it's a high calling, right? Everyone say high calling. Okay. Now, look at what he says there in verse 17. He says, touch me not, right? For I'm not yet ascended to my Father. So, ascend means to do what? Go up. Okay? For I have not ascended to my Father, but go tell my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father. Now look, the whole premise has changed of the relationship. My Father is now your Father. My God, which is now your God. So he says, listen, where I go, he says, you cannot go yet with me. But stay here, because I'm going to send you the Spirit so you can go where I go. That's why Paul says we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. So he says, listen, I'm about to go high. Forget I said that. I'm about to ascend. Those of you caught it.
You said how we're thinking ascend. Go
ahead. Ascend. We're going to go high, okay? We're going to go up without chemical help. So he says, I'm about to go high, ascend to a higher level, a platform, where I rule above the dominion of this world and the second heavens, which is all demons and principalities. I'm going to go up to the highest pinnacle, the word ascend. And before we go there, let's do Ephesians 4 and 10. I think, yeah, Ephesians, is it? Galatians, yeah. It's Ephesians 4 and verse 10. Let's see. Ah, yes, that's it. All right, you there? Say amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all the heavens that he might fulfill all things. So now he's talking about John 20, right? He said, so him, this one who descended. Now, to understand the ascend, you need to understand the descend first. In theology, there's a term called kenosis or keno, which means to strip away all power and dignity. So it says, Christ who made himself of no reputation, that word reputation is keno, means to strip away, take all power to go to the lowest form. And you see in Hebrews, it says he was made lower than a what? Angel. Okay? So to understand, he went to the lowest form. Okay, lowest. And then he went to the highest. This, yeah, go ahead.
Descended, that was the strip away?
Yeah.
That was the word?
Mm-hmm. It's the same. No, it's not the same word, but it's a derivative of the same. Okay. Kino, yeah. So when you find that scripture that said he made himself of no reputation, you Google that and you'll see that's the root word for every other word that means low. Okay, and when you start playing with the words, just understand Greek has more prepositions. It's like a Latin English language. If it has a preposition here and a preposition or there, or it has a suffix here and a suffix there, it changes context. So they'll use different words, but if you look at the root, you always find that it goes back to the same. But that's just wordsmithing. You don't need that. But it's nice to know. So if you ever want to write your own translation, you'll be semi-viable. Okay. All right. So it says, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all. So that backs up the statement I said. So he went above all. Above all powers, principalities, everything that has a name, everything in heaven, in earth, was he ascended higher. Now, it says we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, but how can we be seated in those places if we're here? And that's the secret. Because you see, Christ, while he was on earth, while he was doing the ministry, it said he had the Spirit without measure. And that same Spirit enabled him to, from the lowest form, descend to ascend while he was on earth to the highest form. That's why I said, if I ask of my Father, he would send me a legion of angels, 10,000 leagues of angels, if I wanted. Because while he was on earth, he was ascended. But then he descended, so he had multiple ascents. Now, let me show you. So this is going to be confusing, but you need to understand he had to come two ways. Okay? He had to come the Son of Man and the Son of God. All right? So the Son of Man, let's just do a little basic Bible school 101. So the Son of Man had to be born of a woman under sin. So Galatians 4, you all familiar with that, or do we need to read it?
Let's read it.
Okay, Galatians 4. Now I say to you, verse 1, that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. You can be Lord of all, but a servant. Okay? But he's under tutors and governors until the time appointed by what? The Father. Are you there? Get there. Okay? But he's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we were children in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. So there's the descent. Okay? Son of David, Son of David, have mercy. Who's the Son of David? Jesus. So he had to come. Born of woman. That's the descent. Then, if it's not bad enough, under the law. So the King of Glory, the lawmaker himself, the God who designed the law, had to submit himself to it. So he had to come under it. Second descent. Okay.
Under the law.
Under the law. Under law. Then another descent was he had to make himself subject to what? Death on the cross. So then he had to go to death. Yeah, there were multiple ascents, but you need to see there were multiple ascents too. So, Jesus comes, John the Baptist shouts, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And he says, "Baptize me." He says, "Oh no, I can't." He said, "You must suffer it to be so." What happens? Boom, light comes from heaven, the voice of God to be, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." So first, Jesus. At this point, he was born of a woman. Age 12, we know he became. So, now, what, everyone's familiar with Jewish culture, right? Okay, so you're born, the eighth day you're circumcised, right? Then you become a covenant partaker of Abraham's covenant. So, first covenant, oh gosh, this is going so far left. But, yeah, let's do it. Let's teach it. Okay, so the first covenant you have to subject yourself is to Abraham's covenant, okay, which is a covenant based on circumcision and faith, okay? Second covenant is the covenant of the law, right? Blessed in the city, blessed in the field. If you keep this, you'll be blessed. If you don't, you won't, okay? So, and that's through obedience, okay? So there's the covenant. So he came, he was circumcised because he's a good Jew boy. Okay? Then he upheld all the law. Even so much, as when he was 12, the teachers of the law were impressed by the questions he asked and the answers he gave. That day he became, so first you're a son of Abraham through circumcision. Then you go through, at age 12, you go through bar mitzvah. Bar means son of Simon bar Jonah. Simon, son of Jonah. And then mitzvah is law. So the second son you become is the son of the law. Okay? So then the son of Abraham, son of Moses. Okay? Are you with me? Yes. It doesn't have to make sense now. Understand. So he kept the law up until his 30th year of life without fault. So then he says, okay, now baptize me into a new covenant. Now, let me see. I believe it's Psalms. Now, you need to understand something very clearly. Jesus, at all times, was 100% God, but he was also 100% man. I'm never going to dispute the divinity of Christ, but I have to let you understand that he did not work in his divinity at all parts. He had to be 100% man so that he could be the pure and spotless lamb. All right? So I believe it's Psalms 24 then.
But did he have the Holy Spirit with him? Because while he was...
We'll get there.
He knew who he was, even though he was here.
We'll get there.
I didn't get a scripture. 24.
All right, Psalms 2. Sorry, Psalms 2. See, I wasn't planning to go there, so I'm not... Okay, so Psalms 2 says, "Why do the heathens rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed." Who's the anointed of God? Jesus. Okay? "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. And he shall speak unto them in his wrath and vex them sore in his displeasure. I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten you." So there was an appointed time. He was born the son of God. No, even the wise men, they said, they came and they said, "Where is he that was what? Born king." Okay? Where is he that he was born king? They knew he would come from the lineage of the king. He would have the rod and the scepter in his hand, and the rod shall not pass from Judah until Shiloh comes, the prince of peace. But he says, "But this day," Galatians 4, "until the time appointed by the Father." So then Jesus comes. Angel feathers. No, I'm kidding. So he says, so now he comes out of heaven. God, Jesus gets baptized, having kept the law perfect, right? God comes out and he says, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." So God confirms in front of man and in front that this is his son. And then what happens? The dove descended upon him and the fullness of the Spirit was given to the son. Then it said he was given the Spirit without measure, for he fulfilled all the requirements of the law without fault. For 30 years. That day, he ascended from the son of the law to the son of God. Then he could change the law. He didn't preach. He did not preach until he was given that directive, because only God can change God's law. So he said, "You've heard it said this and that, but I say unto you." So now he comes and he changes the law. Is it clicking?
Yes.
Is it clicking? Okay.
The Psalm 2, verse 7, that's referring to the baptism when the Father speaks.
Yes. Yeah. And God, remember, God confirmed him twice. Once in the wilderness and once in the city. Some said it was lightning. It said, "This is my son. Hear him." So God confirmed it. Because why? It's got to happen twice. In the mouth of two, let every word be established. Some said it was an angel, some said it was lightning, you know, but those who were there heard it.
When he did it here, and then when he did it later.
Yeah. So every step, everything that Jesus was doing was fulfilling what? The law, the prophets, and the Psalms. Okay? So you need to understand, there was high points and low points throughout Jesus' ministry. If you think your ministry is going to be easy, you better quit now. Because if there were high points and low points in Jesus' ministry, there'll be high points and low points in yours. But here's the kicker. You always come on top every time. There's only one thing that changes, the position of your heart. You go, Paul says, I know how to abase, I know how to have plenty, and I know how to abound. I know how to have much, and I know how to have little. But in every situation, in every circumstance, I'm content. You see, contentment comes when you don't live here in the low life, but you live in the ascended life. When in him you live, move, and have your being, when it's all about being in him and not being in yourself, then you're living the above life. But you see, to get to that life, you have to totally strip yourself from your old life and put that which is behind, behind. Like Pumbaa says, you got to put your behind in your past. Pumbaa was a prophet, man, I'm telling you. I'm Pumbaa.
We'll just make sure we don't stand down.
Oh, I just can't wait to be king. Off with the head. All right. So does that make sense? Do you guys understand? So he's got to go, Jesus has got to go through multiple transitions in ministry. The same with David. How many times did David have to be anointed? Three times. Why? Because there's different stages to every ministry. There's different fulfillments of words going to happen throughout. I'm not talking about the prophetic words that I give you. I'm talking about God's word over you that he had written before time began. Okay? Prophetic words, they're beautiful, nice, put them on a shelf until God can actually use them. If God doesn't use them in your life, don't give a rat's tuchus about it. Okay? I'm so tired of people living by prophecy. And living by numerology. There's so much rubbish numerology in the church. I wish it would stop. Okay? The secret is to live in the presence. To set your mind on things that are what? Above. Not on numbers. God actually told us, do not divine. Numbers are symbolic. As symbolisms have multifaceted meanings. So stop living off numbers and stop living off prophecies and stop living off Perry Stone's books. They're good for a season, but that's what they are. They're seasonal writings that fit someone's theology at some point. But the word of God, which is a more sure word of testimony, has stood through the test of time. Okay. Now that I got that off my chest, I can breathe. Ephesians 1:20. Ephesians 1:20. You all know it. And what is verse 19? We'll start at verse 19. No, let's start at verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. What? Wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of who? Him. Wonderful. Okay. Not of numbers. Not of eschatologies. Of him. That the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Oh, there's that word calling again. Which calling? The high calling. Okay, good. That you might know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of glory of his inheritance in the what? Saints. You. That's you. Not Saint Francis of Assisi. You. You're a saint. Not an ain't. So don't act like an ain't. Okay? In the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him up at his own right hand in where? Heavenly places. High places. Now, whenever you see the Psalms and he talks about the high places, look at it in a different... look at it with a different eye now, okay? Now listen. In high places, far above all principality and power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but the world which is to where? Come. Okay. So don't worry about your eschatology because you've got the power now. So throw away your end time books and all that junk and get the power so that you don't have to worry about this world or the world to come because you need to be ruling and found in high places with Christ Jesus. And has put all things under his feet and given him to be the head over all things to the church. Who's got to rule? The church. The ecclesia. The body. Which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all things in all. All in all. Listen, we're the body that of him who fills all things in all. So when you take the high calling, you're given power over everything that's, every name that is named. So if SARS Corona 2.0.5.7 comes out, if it's got a name, you've got power over it. Okay? So if HIV 2.0 reset comes out, you've got power over it. If Hep XYZ comes out, you've got power over it. Okay? Because we're going to give everything a name. And if it's every name that's named, you've got power over it. Because why? you are fulfilling the high calling. So the high calling is to rule over everything that can be named. And you worry when it doesn't have a name, but everything gets a name. Even storms. Katrina. Give me some others. I don't really pay attention to them. Sandy, Molly. Even drugs get a name, and you got power over them too. Irma, Therma, Wilma, Fred. So the moment they give it a name, you got power. You have power even if it doesn't have a name, because it's got a spirit behind it, and that's a dominion. So just take dominion over the dominion, and you're good. Why? Because you're fulfilling the high calling, which is in Christ, which you're called to do. So that you may know what is the hope of your calling. Now understand, if you don't pursue it and go after it, you'll never see the hope fulfilled. You have to go. You have to seek. He is the rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. So you've got to seek for this thing. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be answered. Ask and it will be given. Father, I don't have power over cancer right now. Give me power. Son, there's the power. I'm going to show you. I'm going to open your eyes so that you can get the understanding, the wisdom, the revelation, and the knowledge of me. I'm going to show you how much I love you so that you know that cancer has no power, because the love is now going to be revealed to you. The revelation of him is love. And the more you seek his love, the more you'll understand who he is. Then the more you understand who he is, the more dominion you'll have. Okay. Now let me tell you the Greek word for ascend and for this. It's anabaineo. Ana means above. Baineo means to walk. So it means to walk up. Okay. This lifestyle means it's above. You have to walk. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of what? The wicked or the ungodly. Who stands not in the way of the sinners, who neither sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the what? The word of the Lord, which he what? Meditates day and night. That man, he's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He'll bear what? Fruit in every season. His leaf will not. Everything. So when you pray and you prosper, you're a tree planted. When you pray and you don't prosper, there's something wrong. But not so is the wicked. They are like the chaff which the wind blows away. Okay. You'll see. If you see a preacher rise up and go down as quickly as. He didn't have fruit that will last. The Bible says that their fruit may remain or last. Okay, this is not a thing that you walk up, rise up, and then fall down. Now, was Jesus' ministry like that? No, not at all. Every time he came to a different precipice, he had to humble himself. Oh, Jesus, that was an awesome miracle. The leper was totally restored. Don't tell anyone. Shh. I'm building my Father's glory. Father, the glory that you've given me. It's not of great significance. Yeah, disciples, you that come after me, take my glory. I share it with you because this is what I'm going to do. I'm birthing sons for my Father. I'm giving God a lineage on the earth, many sons. See, his heartbeat was his Father's. So every time he made himself subject to something under the principles of this world is so that we could get a leg up. He became poor that we might become what? Rich. He died so that we might. So the ascended life is, now, you want to see that work in principle here in your life? You want to get elevation? Go low. You want to go low? Try and take and become high. The kingdom principles are reversed. If you want to be great in the kingdom, then you have to serve everyone. If you want to be great on the earth, and take God's glory, he'll bring you low. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will what? Exalt you, lift you up. So humility takes you high, pride takes you low. You want to ascend? Humble. You want to go down? Go up. Okay. Now, understanding, secrets. It's a secret. What is the secret of the ascended life? It's simply perspective. Here's something that's going to boggle your mind a little bit. Two hindrances that I've often found in football, we have the term fumble the play, right? I think.
Yeah.
So it means he tried to do a specific play and he dropped it. He dropped the ball on that one, literally and punnily intended, right? So to fumble the play, this is what you need. You want to miss it, obey man. I find with God, he oftentimes goes against the grain. But if you want to make the play, get rid of that and get the fear of God. And keep it. Never lose it. You all know the teaching on fear of God. It doesn't mean I'm terrified of God. It means I reverently respect the one whom I love. Right? Now, let's do Job. Let's look. I want to show you some things about the secret. Let's try this. Let's go Job 15 and 8. Yeah, 15. It says, thou hast heard the secret of God, and thou dost retain wisdom to thyself. Listen, God's got a secret, y'all. Doesn't Psalm say, I think it's Psalm 25, 14. Let me just jump over there. I don't make you guys work too hard in your Bibles after quarantine. Psalm 25 and verse 14, it says, the secret of the Lord is with them that what? Fear him. And he will show them his covenant. So, who has known the secret of God? Oh, the secret's with them that what? Fear him. Okay. Now, Jeremiah 23, verse 18. Let me find that. You can go there if you fast enough. 23. And then verse 18. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord? Who has perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Okay? Who has stood? Who has stood in the counsel of God? Well, simple. It's easy. The one who is anointed with the Spirit without measure. Because what? He shall have the Spirit of counsel. Sechoiva. You should know this. What are the seven spirits of God? The Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of might, knowledge, counsel, wisdom, understanding, and the fear of the Lord. So who has stood in the counsel of the Lord? The one who is filled with his Spirit. Christ has become unto us what?
Wisdom.
Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. Who has wisdom? He who has Christ. All right. So how do you get the secret? Get the secret giver. become one with him and one with his spirit. Then you can say, but I stand in the counsel of God. Jesus said, I do nothing, I don't see what? My Father do. Why? Because I'm right here in his counsel. But Jesus, you're in Galilee, not in heaven. That, technically you're right, but spiritually you're wrong. I'm in heavenly places with the Father. His secrets are made known to me. Why? Because I'm seated with him in heavenly places. How, Jesus? I have the Spirit. But Jesus, you can't be in two places at once. It's impossible. No, I can. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And the Lord's eyes go to and fro the earth. He sees all. He knows all. He's everywhere at the same time. He's in the past. He's in the present. And he's standing at the future. Time is a construct made for finite man, but not for the infinite and almighty God. He's omniscient, all-knowing. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. He's omnipresent, everywhere at the same time. So when I'm in him, I'm all-powerful. Why? Because he has become power unto us. His righteousness imputed to us gave us power over all principalities, darkness, dominion. You know what? The biggest enemy for man is time. Because why? Time kills you. Man is given but a what? A limited amount of time. They say from the moment you're born, you start dying. So what's the enemy of man? What's the last enemy that must be defeated? Death. What is death's main construct? The physics is simple. The math is easy. So when he says redeeming the time for the days are evil, he says, let's wind back that's corruptible and make it incorruptible. Let's put on Christ and then make this corruptible body. He says, though the outward decay, the inward is renewed day by day. And when the inward is renewed, that which is in you can come upon you. And that's why when you become like Abraham, in his old age, he became fertile. You know, Sarah, impossible to have children. No. You know, the sun doesn't stand still, but when God gets on the scene and the sons of God start arriving, we tell the sun stand still, the moon, to turn back. See, time is a construct given to a fallen generation. The new heaven and the new earth, which God is making and birthing in the sons, which creation is crying out for, the seed is in you. The ascended life is in you. But no, let's just wait for the sweet by and by, and then we'll come back and Jesus will do it. Jesus isn't going to do anything anymore. He's done it. He's done all he needs to do. Now we need to do. He is in his Sabbath. He is in his rest. We better fear that we don't miss the rest by finding that our work was never done. We must work the works of righteousness while it is still day, for the night come when no man can work. Good. The key principle to the secret life, the secret of the ascended life, is union with him in the most holy place. Now, let's go Song of Solomon. I think it's 2:14. It's one of my favorites. Listen, this is God's from verse 10. My beloved spoke and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away with me. For lo, winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, and the time of singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in the land. The fig tree putteth forth fruits. If you understand symbolism, that should get you very excited. What did Jesus curse? What did Adam grab the moment he had sinned? Fig leaves. All right. So get the symbolisms. and the vine with tender grapes give good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away with me. Then, verse 14. O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock. Where did he put Moses?
In the rock.
All right. Where did he put Jesus?
In the tomb.
In his heart. Okay. That's some teaching for another time. All right. In the secret places of the stairs. Are you getting this? The secret places of the stairs. What does that mean? The secret places that you can only go to by going what?
Up.
Ascending.
Why is it the secret
places of the cliff? Yeah, just get a decent Bible. Then you'll... The steep pathway. Those aren't correct. It says stairs because it's ascension. The Hebrew word is kenoka, which means upward. Steps that take upward. You see, that's why I keep telling you guys need to get a proper translation. NIV, NLT, all those are... Yeah, even there, it's wrong.
It's
up the hillside, no, it's not. Well, if you look at it, either way, it's telling you go up. But it tells you it's harsh. But now, if it says steep, it's incorrect because the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds what?
No sorrow.
No toil. So what makes it an easy ascent?
Stairs.
Okay. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And those steps is the same word. It means, and because you'll see it always talks about David going up the steps of the palace. Same word. You can't interchange them because it fits a theology. You have to go by what says in the word. That's why I don't depart from the King James. As a person who understands the Hebrew language, even the Jews use King James. Go and look at their writings on Chabad and all those websites, Jewish websites. Same as King James. Old English. Old Latin English. Why? Because it stood the test of time.
It's so much weightier.
It's weightier, and it's the anatomy of the word is more correct. All right? You don't want to do a lot of wordplay with semantic languages. You can't. There's not a lot of room. They didn't have... You see, English, you can say, I'm worried, I'm perplexed, I'm discombobulated. There's many words that fit a singular emotion. Ancient languages aren't like that. They don't have multifaceted words for the same emotion, the same feeling, or the same thing. See, a British person will call it the stairs. You'll call it go up the steps. You know, we have interchangeable words. Semantic languages do not. So that's why I tell you, get a good Bible. Amplified, up a steep cliff. The problem with that is steep means strenuous. It's strenuous to climb a steep hill, unless you're fit. Right? But then again, it could be right because he said he'll give us legs, hind legs that ascend. So either way, it will work, but you have to do a lot more work to see it working. These translations, the older ones, the Knox and the Wiest and the Bishop's translation and all those that are birthed from the 1600s, they kept it to the core of the semantic language. Semantic language, not semantic. Semantic language. Semantic means of that era, the Middle East. Okay. All right, so up the stairs to what? To ascend, to go higher. Okay. Let's do one more. 1 Corinthians. Okay, two more. Then we'll finish and we'll pick this up next week again. Oh, wait, not next week, the week after. Next week is Labor Day.
Memorial.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing. It's a public holiday that...
We're not meeting.
What did I say? 1 Corinthians 6. Okay. I figured that's what I said. It's a good thing you guys were listening. And then verse 17. He who's joined to the Lord is what? One spirit. If you connect your spirit to His, the ascended life is yours. Okay? There's a Hebrew word called yada, which means to know. And Adam knew his wife, meaning they were intimate. Means intimacy or becoming of one. He who is joined to the Lord is what? Yada, one intimate spirit. And a husband shall leave his mother and a man shall leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one. This is that which God has intended from the old, that we should leave the birth of the natural. That's why he said, you must, to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born from what? That's not what he said. You must be born from? John 3. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say you must be born again. The wind bloweth, where it listeth, and thou hast heard the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it came from or where it going. So is everyone born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus answered him and said, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, thou art a master of Israel, and knowest not these things. Verily I say to you, we speak of what we do know, and testify of what we have seen and have received, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you of earthly things, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God has sent his Son into the world, not to condemn it, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of his only begotten Son. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. For everyone that doeth evil hateth light, neither has cometh into the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. So he says, you must be born again of the Spirit, of the ascended life. There's one translation that says you must be born from above. And I need to find that one. That's a very good translation. You must be born. It might be the, is it Amplified? Is it New King James that says? No. This one says, let me see. So he says, be born from the higher life. Be born. Actually, it's the Message Bible that says it. Now I remember it. It's the Message. You must be born from above. It's a very good translation. Must be born from the Spirit. Phumos. Phumos is also a word which means spirits, which is high. The Spirit, you know, so there's a contextual prefix that says the Spirit. And where is the Spirit? Above. So he says, you must be born from above. You must be born from, for no one has seen the Father except him, and no one has ascended to the Father. So up until this point, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the fathers of faith, none of them had seen the Father. None. Except Jesus, who came from the Father. And who descended and then reascended. So, to ascend, you need to get in the elevator, which is called Jesus, and go. And in that ascended life, there you have power over everything in heaven and on the earth. Everything that's got a name, everything that doesn't have a name, every dominion, principality from the ascended life. But the secret to the ascended life is that you must have the intimacy with the one. And Jesus said, no, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So everything that you need was found in him. He is the way to the ascended life. He is the truth. He is the divine revelation to find it. And he is the light, which enlightens you and makes you part of the light. Every good and perfect gift comes from what? The Father of lights. All right? And we are called the what? Children of light. So you must get in the light to become the light so that you can return to the light. And that sounds very New Agey, but it's awesome. So be one with the light. All right. Okay, let's kick it there, and then I don't know what we're going to do.
Being seated in heavenly places, I think I mentioned this to you before, is that because, you know, we are seated in heavenly places, and I mean, you know, we were talking, you mentioned briefly earlier that, you know, we're still here, but we're seated in heavenly places. Is that because we're one with the Spirit, and the Spirit is in heavenly places, so if we're one with the Spirit, he's in heavenly places, we are.